It's time for JT the Brick.
Bonjour, San Francisco.
I think the 49ers really are primed to make a run in the playoffs.
Garoppolo looking left. Garoppolo comes back right. Garoppolo chase, throws for the end zone. It is caught.
I got to give San Francisco the credit.
In the playoffs, in big games, I show up. I show up year in, year out.
They're explosive. They're going to go to the Super Bowl with a performance like that.
JT the Brick.
The Green Bay Packers have advanced to the NFC Championship game.
In order for Green Bay to beat San Francisco, they have to play a great game.
Rodgers deep drop looking. Pops it over the left side. Devontae wide open. 10 to the 5 to the end zone. Touchdown.
Green Bay looked good. They made big plays when they had to. Rodgers was the difference late.
Nobody thought we could do it. You know, we've done it before.
Aaron Rodgers now going up against Jimmy Garoppolo.
And now, here's JT the Brick. Oh, wow.
Out of the gate, JT with you. Happy Friday. Man, it couldn't get here quick enough. What a week. What an unbelievable week. Are you kidding me? I'm talking locally in Vegas, let alone nationally, with the sign-stealing scandal. I'm getting so good at saying it. Sign-stealing scandal. I can almost say it three times fast, but it's too tough to do it. Try it in your car right now. Sign-stealing scandal. Say it three times fast. It has changed baseball forever. It has changed baseball forever. I don't know if you put it anywhere near Pete Rose, the Black Sox, or especially the steroid scandal, but it feels like it's trying to get on Mount Rushmore. The way President Obama is trying to get on Mount Rushmore. See, there's only four presidents on Mount Rushmore. If you'd like a fifth, we have to blow up a rock and shape it, and it'll take like 30 years to do it. So we can't put your favorite fifth president on Mount Rushmore. We have to stop at four. The greatest Mount Rushmore question in the history of sports are, who are the four Mount Rushmores of the Yankees? You can't do it. It's impossible. Because you got to have Babe Ruth, no debate. You have to have Lou Gehrig, no debate. So that's two of them. I didn't even mention a pitcher. Then you go Mariano Rivera. He's the only unanimous Hall of Famer to ever live. Only one is Mariano Rivera to ever play baseball. Jeter might go in. Jeter might go in unanimously. I didn't mention Joe DiMaggio, who without a doubt DiMaggio's on the Mount Rushmore. And there's a guy named Yogi Berra who won 10 World Series and 3 MVPs. I didn't mention Whitey Ford. I didn't go down to anybody. So you can't even figure it out with the Yankees. When it comes to the Mount Rushmore, and there's a lot to talk about with this and other sports, in the baseball scandal Mount Rushmore, it's Shoeless Joe and the Black Sox. It is Pete Rose, number two. It is steroids, number three. You cannot move any three of those scandals ever. You can't move them. And now we can this week because we're finding out guys might have been wearing buzzers and guys were cheating. And then it knocked out, listen to me, everybody, really important moment in your life as a baseball fan. This week, the offseason of baseball, three managers lost their jobs. We're not talking three managers lost their job because they were 20 games out at the All-Star break. We're talking about two World Series managers now being suspended from baseball in a week and scandal that went from Houston all the way to the Mets. Wow, what a week. And you wonder why I love my job? Sports radio is the toy department of sports. There's political talk. How would you like to be, and those guys get paid a ton of money. I worked in the same company with Sean Hannity and Rush Limbaugh. They make 30, 40 million a year on radio. But how would you like to go home every night talking politics? I mean, wouldn't you get to a point where you wouldn't even want to look at your kids? You're talking politics every day in the sewer and the swamp of D.C. It would be pretty tough. How would you like to be talking about other types of radio, talk radio, where you're talking about other topics? Maybe certain days you have a bad day. In sports radio, you'll never, ever, ever, ever hear me complain. Ever. I might complain that there's not enough calls. I might complain that, you know, I didn't get the guest that I wanted and I thought he would. He's late. You'll never hear me complain about my job. I love my job. And if it turns out that the Astros were cheating as they were wired with buzzers under their uniform, it might be the greatest day of my 23 years on radio. It really would. It might be the greatest day of my life if I can come in sometime in the next month and tell you that Jose Altuve has been banned from baseball for life for wearing a wire. Matter of fact, if he was wearing a wire, because a lot of people think he was, What should the ban be? I said for life, and I said, man, life's pretty hard. Life, other than murder, life is pretty hard. I believe in parole, and I believe in forgiveness. So Altuve, or anybody who wore a wire, if that's possible, I say 5 years, no appeal. Try telling Altuve he can't play baseball for 5 years. Career's over, right? So that would be taking his career out. Do you actually believe that? I know that baseball players went into hotel rooms with needles and shot performance-enhancing drugs into their ass. We know that a lot of them did it. Do you think that any baseball player ever walked out of the dugout into the batter's box with a wire taped under their armpit, shocking them when there was a strike that was going to be a curveball or a fastball? Could you imagine if that happened and we find out about it? Because there's rumblings that it did. There's rumblings. Now, I don't believe in conspiracy theories. Here's why. I'm from New York. I lost a fraternity brother at the top of Cantor Fitzgerald on 9/11. And whenever anybody says anything about a conspiracy theory on 9/11, I want to roll. I want to fight someone. I walk out of the room. So I'm not the guy to bring up crazy aliens or 9/11 didn't happen or, you know, Newton didn't happen, none of that stuff. But there's a big conspiracy in baseball going on that the Astros were cheating at such a high level that they were wiring the players with buzzers as they went to home plate. And here's the key to that story. If that is true, that means that Justin Verlander knew. Right? We all get that, right? Justin Verlander's locker is right next to all of them. They all go out to dinner and talk. You don't think if there's a wire going up one of their shirts that they all agree that they all knew it? And then what do you do to baseball? So this, I hope, didn't happen. If I had a bet, and I don't bet, I'm one of the few guys who don't bet everybody. Here you got a lot of guys in town, real dirty industry secret. They drive 1987 Toyota Tercels and bet $5 a game, and they get on the radio and they tell you how sharp they are. They're not. They're not. They don't have any money to bet on games, a lot of these guys. I will tell you, I'm not a betting man, but I can promise you, if Altuve did something like this, he's done. It would take baseball to its knees. I don't think he did it. I really don't. I don't think he did it. But I'm also the guy who defended A-Rod when he said he didn't take steroids. How'd that work out for me? I'm also the guy that believed that when Lance Armstrong had testicular cancer and he was on his deathbed and came back and won the Tour de France, that he probably wasn't doping and blood spinning. He was. So I've been duped before. I've been duped before. And whenever I make a mistake, I come on the radio and apologize and say I got it wrong. So I'd like your opinion, because we have a short show tonight because we have our holiday party. Now, you might say, how could you have a holiday party tonight? I love the idea. We wait till the holidays are over because if people want to go back home with their families or they have things going on in town, they can do that. And then after that, we have our holiday party here. We have a very big company. We have two Latino stations, the two best rock stations, three Latino stations, the two best rock iconic stations in town. We have three sports radio stations with a flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights and UNLV. So we got a big party tonight. So we're going a little bit short tonight. And we'll be back on Monday to go big. Kelly McCrimmon will join me exclusively, I think, on maybe Monday or Tuesday. We'll get a vibe on what's happening with the Vegas Golden Knights. But I'd like your opinion because Vegas is a baseball town. We are a baseball hotbed. They're even thinking about having a baseball team here. Bobby, save this in 3, 2, and 1. I don't want Major League Baseball here. It won't work. We can't do 162 games in this town with the Raiders and the Golden Knights and UNLV and the Aviators and everybody. We can't. Plus, baseball is not peaking on ascending now, and we don't want to put a ballpark at the 15 in Flamingo. It'd be a nightmare. It'd be a nightmare. You wouldn't be able to get across town. And how do you think we'd do at baseball in this town on a Tuesday night when the Tigers are in town for 3 nights? We'd have empty seats galore after 2 years. I don't want baseball here. I'm good enough with the Aviators and everything else we have. But I'm talking about these big issues on baseball scandals. So where do you rank the sign-stealing scandal compared to Pete Rose, the Black Sox, and steroids? 876-1340. And what do you think baseball needs to do? I heard a juicy one today. There's a chance that Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, might go down. Because if he's withholding any information that he thinks that he can quiet it down, follow me here. If he thinks he can quiet this down and shut you and me up because he went after the Astros and went after the Mets and Beltran, went after the Red Sox, but he knew more about the buzzers and the buzzer beaters or players individually cheating more, but suppressed it so we would forget about it and move on? Well, remember I told you that. So he's not out of the woods yet. There's a lot happening. I am not a glass house. I've made a lot of mistakes in my life, mostly between the age of 16 and 22 or 23. And most of the athletes I talk about on this show are between the ages of 18 and 30. When young men make mistakes at an early age in life, they shouldn't be defined by it unless they do bodily harm and there's violence and they hurt other people. If you take steroids, I'll probably forgive you. If you stole signs, I'll forgive you. If you cheated on a bike race, I'll forgive you eventually. Life's too short for me, a glass house, to start throwing rocks at everybody else. But I'm in a business here in sports radio where it's the TMZification of sports. Last night on my satellite show, out of the blue, the number one guy in all the media called in, and we're going to play it later. The number one guy, the highest paid soon-to-be guy in all of media, all of them, called into my show randomly because he liked what I was saying. Really cool. We'll play that coming up here in about a half hour. Don't miss that. Let's get to the Vegas Golden Knights winning at Ottawa. Do you know that Ottawa has now lost 9 games in a row? That is hard to do in hockey. That means they're a bad team. Do you remember the debate with Gerard Gallant before he got fired on a road trip in the middle of, no one knew he got fired? You know why he got fired? Because people thought that this team wasn't good enough to beat anybody good. So, Peter DeBoer in his first ever game, against an opponent called Ottawa, played the worst team in hockey on this current streak and beat them. How do you justify or value that going forward? I'm completely in behind DeBoer on the flagship station of the Vegas Golden Knights. As a certified first-year rabid Golden Knight fan and someone who roots for the team. So I'm going to get behind any coach who gets here because why not? I want to see the cup. I don't want to wait 11 years, 19 or 30. I want it to happen this year, and I thought Gallant was going to do it. The Stastny goal got him going very early in the contest.
Here is Stastny ahead with Stone. Back for Stastny shooting. He scores! Stone and Stastny, the give and go. And Vegas scores 34 seconds into the game.
Now, Stastny is someone who's got pretty good offensive skills. He can score goals, and he can set up goals. He's one of the reasons why Gerard Gallant got let go, because a guy like Stastny and Tuck and Carlson and Marchessault are all streaky. They're all just streaky. They're not Connor McDavid. They're not Mike Bossy in their prime. They're not Ovechkin. Well, you can count on them every night. They are streaky offensive players. But Stone, I believe, is the best player on the team, other than Fleury, who's not playing great as of late. And Stone's the guy we got to all start talking about. We got to make him the captain of the team. We got to put a C on his sweater, make him the captain because of plays like this.
2-on-2 scrum for the puck on the right boards. Patch ready, shoots, tipped on goal, save. Stone the wraparound, he scores! Mark Stone, 2 points in his return to Ottawa. 2-0 Golden Knights with 1:05 to go in the second.
Love the way Stevenson's playing, too. If we can get him hot, he's got tremendous upside, which is a great thing. Here's a shorthanded goal made a 3-0.
Stevenson now breaks up a return pass. Duclair trying to send it back to Chabot. Now it's a steal. Stevenson is in. He shoots and scores! It's a shorthanded goal. Chandler Stevenson, 3-0 Golden Knights. 6 minutes into the third period.
Look at that, 3-0 there. Comfortable lead here. They score one to make a 3-1. Then Ryan Reeves. Remember Ryan Reeves got the goal that got him going against St. Louis in the biggest home win of the year? And Reeves again showing that a lot of people didn't think he'd get along with DeBoer, and DeBoer didn't like him because he talked crap about him in that series in San Jose. Nice to see that he scored in the first game with the new coach.
And it's Nick Watt to dump it in right corner. Anderson back behind his net, gave it away. Vegas has it, centering feed, and they score! Ryan Reeves takes advantage of an Ottawa miscue. 4-1 Golden Knights.
Dan Dubin on all these calls, and they were able to win. You don't say hold on. Remember, if you say hold on to Gallant, he gets mad. He thinks that's a shot. He held on. No. They won the game. Here's the final score as Vegas finally wins one again and gets it on the road.
Left circle, Brown dishes down low. Save. Fleury going to his right. Now back to his left. He makes the save on the attempted wraparound that came from Tyler Ennis. And the puck is out of the zone and the clock runs out. The hockey game is over, and Pete DeBoer begins his Golden Knights tenure with a victory. 4-2, the final score.
DeBoer after the game pretty excited because there's been a lot of adversity around the hockey club over the last couple of days, and they won.
Tough week for them. I thought they responded the right way. They came out, they poured their energy into the game and playing the right way, and they got rewarded for it. So hopefully it's the start of a roll here.
He was smart to say by the time he got in so late, he didn't want to talk about any philosophies and what's going on. He's basically going to take a look at this team for the next 3 days before the All-Star break and take a time out to see what his job looks like.
You know what? I think you don't have time to institute anything. I think it was just a matter of them, you know, putting their minds to playing to their identity. When they're playing like that, on their toes, aggressive, fast, hard, they're a hard team to handle, and they have been for a long time. So I thought we did that for a good long stretch tonight.
So good news. Good news overall. That's a nice win for the new coach. That even though if you don't like him for some reason or you can't wrap your head around hiring the guy who was our arch rival a year ago, get over it. Get over it. It's sports. What's more important to you? Your season tickets and your jersey and your pre-parties at PT's? And your post parties during PT's happy hour at midnight? Or do you want to sit there and have a fit over the fact that they hired this guy? This is the new head coach of the hockey team here in town, and he knows that this is a good group of players he's taken over.
It was a good night. It's a good group. And like I said, after a tough week and some hard days, I thought it was nice to get a win and kind of move past that.
Now, here's the big topic I want to talk about. Make sure everybody understands. He was hired to win the cup. He was not hired the way they did Gallant, the way Gallant was fired. He wasn't here to just kind of check out the team for a year, and then maybe next year they're better. No. They got rid of Gallant before the All-Star break, and he's the All-Star coach. So DeBoer better get this team's potential to go through the roof to make sure that they have a chance of winning the cup.
They play an honest game. That's, you know, there's a reason they've been deep in the playoffs for a couple of the last 3 years. So it's I'm looking forward to the potential of the group, but we've got some work to do too.
So I'd like your opinion on this. What do you think of this week? We can do one of those shows. Again, I don't have T-shirts or tickets to give away. I'm just looking for one, a good two calls an hour to put me in a good mood for our holiday party tonight at 876-1340. Hockey fans that are here that listen to this show because they want real sports radio, you know what I'm looking for. Is this going to work or not? The way they did Gallant this week, how have you handled it now that you're going into the weekend on Friday? Is there something that you'd like to say on the flagship to the owner, Mr. Foley? If you can say something with respect, you can. And to the executives, McPhee and McCrimmon, and get it off your chest. And do you think that this team can win the Stanley Cup with the change they just made? 876-1340. I would say no as of now, but I picked them to win the Stanley Cup before the year started. And I don't jump off the bandwagon. I picked New Orleans and Kansas City in the Super Bowl. Kansas City's still there. I'm not filling in the blank for a new New Orleans team. Speaking of the NFC and the AFC championship game, it's going to be great. No, I'd love to know where you're going to watch the games this weekend. Are you going to the Superbook at the Westgate? Are you going to PT's? Are you going to a local tavern? Are you going to a casino like the Strat who supports this show? The Hard Rock is closing. Maybe a good time to go through there and watch a game there. I will tell you, the Titans have proven that they can beat anybody, anywhere, anytime. And Kansas City this year has lost 3 games at home, and they're 12-4. I like Kansas City to win the game but not cover. I think the Titans can take the air out of the ball by running it, put pressure on Andy Reid and his staff. But in the end, I think that you're going to see enough plays being made by Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce that it's going to be tough to beat Kansas City. And I love the way that Kansas City responded being down 24-0 the week before. I mean, that was really special for them because if they would have lost that game, I don't know how anybody could have showed their face in Kansas City again, including Andy Reid. And they won that game, and they covered, and they blew them out from the second quarter on. So I think they deserve a lot of credit for that. And I don't think they're going to squander that momentum. The Packers and the 49ers, as I said all year, I don't drink the Jimmy G Kool-Aid. I don't pray at the altar of Jimmy G. I don't think he's terrible. I just don't think he's going to beat Aaron Rodgers in the most important game of the year. And the problem is the Packers are not as good as their record is 13-3. The Niners are probably better than their 13-3 record. I like Green Bay, as I've been telling you all week, because their three stars, Rodgers, Jones, and Adams, are all completely healthy and ready to go. Completely healthy and ready to win. If they weren't healthy at all, if one of those guys were nicked up, I'd say go with San Francisco. And the other thing is Jimmy Garoppolo, even though he won a game last week, Jimmy Garoppolo is not a great quarterback. He's not a superstar. Aaron Rodgers is. People are saying, well, this is Aaron Rodgers' last roll, last ride. No, I don't think so. I think Rodgers has another chance to win a Super Bowl, if not this year, maybe next year. But he's getting close to the end. And he's healthy, and he lost, and he got embarrassed the last time he played in Levi's Stadium. I expect him to step up. San Francisco opened at 7.5. It's still at 7.5, other than 8, minus 8, at Tony Miller's Golden Nugget. Tony tweeted that out today, and I just retweeted it about an hour ago. So if you like that, if you're a Green Bay fan, San Francisco minus 8 at the Golden Nugget. Tony Miller has it there, and they're looking for some action. Kansas City opened up minus 7. It's now 7 to 7.5, depending on where you're shopping on that one. That's the monologue brought to you by Sam and Ash. You know, every day I turn on the television and I see every 10 seconds a commercial for a personal injury attorney. And one either has a sledgehammer, the other guy is on a motorcycle, the other guy's wearing a tank top after a workout. I said, what is this? Give me Sam and Ash, because they do what's right. And you deserve to be heard. You deserve proven results, peace of mind, what's right, experienced partners. And I think that Sam and Ash would be perfect. So if you get into any type of accident, at work, on the road, at your business, call Sam and Ash at 800-304-2000 or go to samandash.com, samandash.com. Sam and Ash, what's right. When we come back, Chris Myers kind enough to check in. He'll be on the sidelines for the 49ers. Aaron Andrews also, Troy Aikman, and Joe Buck on the call. Chris joined us every week this season. He didn't have to. And he'll do it again. Chris Myers from the NFL on Fox. And then Stephen A. Smith called into my show last night. I thought it was so good. From his end, I want you to hear that coming up here in about 15 minutes. JT, brought to you by Golden Entertainment.
That was huge, yeah. I didn't actually get to see it. Made the play. It's that complimentary football. I've said it before up here, but that one, I mean, coming off the special teams one with Raheem, when he got that one too, it was just all three units are playing together like that. It makes it tough to beat.
Jimmy Garoppolo, give him credit. He had major knee surgery last year, sat out the whole year, came back ready to play, and he's one game away from the Super Bowl. Incredible. As that game is played in Santa Clara, as we go up to the Bay Area, Chris Myers joins us from the NFL on Fox. Chris, really appreciate it again. After all those years of going to Candlestick, now you're going to Silicon Valley. What's that like?
Yeah, it's a little bit different, but I love those Candlestick days. It was cold and windy, and the place did really rock, you know, covering Steve Young and some of those championship teams. And you're right, yeah, it was a San Francisco vibe. This is a Santa Clara, San Jose kind of a vibe. But Kyle Shanahan said it best. He said, you know, the crowd, and they really were loud. They had an impact last week at that Viking game with the 49ers in the playoff win. But he said, you know, the better we've gotten, the louder the crowd has gotten. And they're back. The 49er faithful, maybe they drifted a little bit away with the new stadium and a changeover. But it's an amazing chance to get back to Super Bowl. And they got a tough one with Rodgers coming in. And the Packers appear to be a much better team than the last time they played.
Chris, no doubt about that. We'll get to the box score from the last game, but in the most recent game, Jimmy Garoppolo only threw for 131 yards. 131 yards total in that game, and they won convincingly. If I'm the Packers, I think I got to try to stop the run, load up the box, and make Garoppolo prove that he can lead the team to the Super Bowl by winning the game by throwing it. Is that the plan you think the Packers on D?
Yeah, and I think, JT, it's been a plan for a lot of teams. We got to stop the run. We got to stop the run. And yet this 49er team with that three-pronged attack of running backs, Matt Breida, Raheem Mostert and then Tevin Coleman. They, you stop them for a while, but then somehow they break through. Maybe they don't dominate. Some games they do dominate on the ground, but if you sell out there, then you have a game where, you know, like the Saints game where, you know, Garoppolo can hit a big play or Kittle get some receivers downfield. That's not necessarily the strength of the team, is the passing game. But it's not a weakness either. And that's where I give Garoppolo and Shanahan a lot of credit, because when it seemed like the running game wasn't there, Garoppolo has done enough in the passing game. And his receivers dropped some passes in that loss to Seattle, the first meeting, the overtime. But he's overcome that. And I think the two of them become a lot better through the course of the season. And by that, I mean Garoppolo understanding Shanahan's offense and what he wants out of it and where to go with the football, things that Shanahan did for Matt Ryan when that team made its Super Bowl run. So, yes, the plan will be to stop the run. But even if you do that, there's enough passing from Garoppolo, and then the run opens up again. And I've seen this team run on 3rd and 8, and then they hand off and get a first down. And they also, you saw the same, they're explosive with run plays. They Matt Breida can rip off a 60-yarder. So how the Packers do that, and then if they do, then how do the 49ers counter? I think Kittle will have a much bigger game this time this week than he did against the Vikings.
Chris Myers is our guest. Let's go back to the first time these teams played. It was a blowout. Niners won 37-8. Rodgers threw for only 104 yards in that game with 33 attempts, but you mentioned Kittle. Kittle was the star. 6 receptions for 129 yards and a touchdown. Limited a little bit this week with an ankle injury. I wonder if that'll slow him down in this game and leave Green Bay from double-teaming him off the line, or do they load up and try to take him out of the game, get to Jimmy Garoppolo, and hope that someone else can beat him?
Yeah, no, he practiced today. It was more a little wear and tear on his body because he'd missed time earlier in the year with an ankle injury. They had a little rain in the Bay Area when they practiced, and I'll meet with Kittle, with Joe and Troy and Aaron tomorrow, and Garoppolo and Shanahan. So I think physically he's going to be fine. And, you know, he's a guy, JT, when I've talked to him in the past, we've sat down, he'd much rather block and blow somebody up on the defense than he would catch a pass. So he's got that kind of mentality. And then when he does catch a pass, he's like a WWE guy out there moving downfield. So I that's the challenge when you just touched on. How do the Packers, do they gear up to stop the run, or do they worry about Kittle and double-team him? He had the big game against them last time, so they're going to have to be thinking about him. He wasn't needed as much, you know, in that Viking playoff win because of the way the 49ers were able to run the ball. But he is definitely a difference maker way, either in the passing game or the running game. And I think that creates a problem for any defense, specifically the Packers, who I think, you know, they have some star players. You saw Za'Darius Smith and Preston Smith. I mean, I don't know how strong they are up the middle. I think their secondary has, you know, Alexander's probably the better corner. I don't know if King, that's probably a guy you can pick on a little bit. So there's some spots that I'm sure Kyle Shanahan, who's become, you know, he's always been a good play caller. Now as a head coach play caller, I think he's going to find some ways to get things done, whether it's with Kittle or the running game or having Garoppolo go to some of his other receivers.
Chris Myers joins us from the NFL on Fox. He's on the sidelines along with Aaron Andrews, Joe Buck, Troy Aikman on the call. Must-see television coming up on Sunday. Chris, to you, a bigger storyline, Aaron Rodgers trying to get to another Super Bowl and maybe win his second, or Jimmy Garoppolo and a 4-win team making a Super Bowl run after he had a devastating knee injury?
Yeah, the biggest, or maybe Aaron Rodgers trying to get a scotch deal after his interview with Aaron Andrews when he said he's going to go home and sip scotch. These guys all know how to take advantage of the moment, just like Feels Great Baby with Garoppolo on the T-shirt. So, it's probably, JJ, I'm just thinking on a wide scope of the Packers team and Aaron Rodgers. That's probably the one to ride in terms of a storyline. Doesn't mean that, you know, the Garoppolo one isn't fascinating when you think about where he was, the trade, the injury, where, as you said, the 49ers were, and the 3-year program with Kyle Shanahan and Lynch, how they built this up. And I know some of the 49er linemen, Garoppolo shrugs it off. He's that kind of guy. You know, he's very easygoing. Just like when he throws a pick, he'll come back and recover from it. He's very serious about it, but he doesn't let it get to him. But some of his offensive linemen are a little bit annoyed, thinking that, you know, most of the country is making this about Aaron Rodgers as the advantage and the quarterback. And look, he's got the credentials. I mean, Garoppolo has won a division and a playoff game. You got to keep doing it, right? So you get to a Super Bowl, you'll get you'll get more of the accolades. But he's not bothered by it. But it's good that he said it's good that the offensive linemen are, because I need them to protect me. So they're both interesting storylines. But Rodgers is the star of this game going in, and I think it's an advantage for the Packers, not the rematch, but just that they kind of wandered in and got their butts kicked the last time. You know, Rodgers, he's a Cal guy. He's got that attitude. So he'll use a lot of that however he can to make sure that he's at his best. And when he's at his best, you know, he overcomes great odds. So that's a concern. But I will say, and I not to ramble here, but on that Seahawks sideline last week, and I know they were beaten down with injuries and Russell Wilson had a heck of a year, but they really did a poor job. Devontae Adams is the one guy. And maybe don't take him away, but look what the Vikings did with Michael Thomas, right, that Saints playoff game. The Seahawks needed to do something, and even time to adjust to take Devontae Adams, at least from wrecking them, because that's the one big star as far as throwing the ball. You have Aaron Jones on the ground, and they couldn't do it. I think the 49ers will be able to do that or do enough of that because of the kind of players they have in their secondary and their defensive-minded approach. Their coordinator, Robert Saleh, is a rising star.
Follow Chris Myers on Instagram, follow him on Twitter, follow him on all social media. My old partner Looney, our friend, would like to say, Chris, tease ahead, tell us something to look forward to in the broadcast, because last week I saw Joe Montana, Jerry Rice, they had all the dignitaries there, and this is a bigger game, and I'm sure Fox is going to plug into that beautifully, especially with this rivalry in the playoffs.
Yes, and I always just hearing Tom Looney's name makes me laugh out loud. I better say, Mr. Radio, we miss him on the air, at least working with you. You guys were a terrific tandem. So, yeah, as far as what Fox has, I know Aaron Andrews is sitting down with Jimmy Garoppolo. You know, he's selling the T-shirts. His brothers are helping him, but he's kind of low-keying that. It's a short pregame because the Kansas City game is on a little bit earlier. As far as in our game, I think that the matchups, you know, with the two minds of Matt LaFleur, right, offensive guy, who really came from the Kyle Shanahan tree. They were together back a while ago. And of course, Sean McVay is in that mix where LaFleur worked. And you know the story, LaFleur's brother, Mike LaFleur, younger brother, is the passing game coordinator for Kyle Shanahan. So even the two brothers, it's funny because Matt mentioned to us last week before the Seahawks game, he said, hey, did you talk to your brother? Because, you know, the 49ers had played the Seahawks. He said, yeah, no, we didn't even talk too much because we thought we might end up playing each other after this. So, yes, there's brotherly love in their clothes, but not when it comes to their football team. So I think the crowd will be into it. The weather will be nice. And it'll be, you know, watch Rodgers, how he performs. And as you pointed out, watch Garoppolo. I always start with the quarterbacks and then the offensive minds, how they adjust. And Shanahan has shown a great ability through the court. When his team isn't doing something, he has a play called to get them to be successful, and then the defense worries about that, then he can come back to what he wants to do best. I've seen a lot of that, and we'll see how Matt LaFleur handles that on his side.
Thank you, Chris. We'll be watching the broadcast. Have a great broadcast, as you always do.
All right, thank you, and I hope to see you down in Miami for the Super Bowl. Take care.
Take care, Chris. Appreciate that. Chris Myers checking in. Big deal to catch him before this game this weekend. I grew up, you know, an NFC guy. I grew up in New York, a Giants fan. And I remember the days of the Giants having to go out west to play Montana. And it was everything. In one of the games, Bill Parcells told them, do not pack to come home. Pack for the Super Bowl in Tampa. And the Giants went from New York, New Jersey to San Francisco, left San Francisco after winning the NFC Championship game, and flew to Tampa. And me and my good buddy Rick Burke said, if they could fly a triangle, we could go to the Super Bowl. And we went to the Super Bowl to Wide Right. And I was at the Wide Right Super Bowl, Whitney Houston singing the anthem, helicopters above us because of the war and what people were worried about. And one of the most, I would not be behind the microphone today if I didn't go to that game. You know why I went to that game? Because the Giants went to San Francisco and beat Joe Montana. Okay? Went with that. When you think about it, Jeff Hostetler. Okay? That's how they did it. And people didn't believe them. They were the Titans. Oh, they got to beat. They got to win in San Francisco. They mucked it up and played a dirty game and won on a walk-off field goal. I know that Aaron Rodgers is better than Jeff Hostetler. Aaron Rodgers is better than Trent Dilfer. Aaron Rodgers is better than Brad Johnson. Aaron Rodgers is better than Joe Flacco and Hostetler and Sims and all these other guys who won Super Bowls. In order to win the Super Bowl, you have to win the championship game. It is not automatic. I don't believe in Garoppolo. If he does it, I'll come here on Monday and I'll tip my cap. And then I have to do 2 weeks of Jimmy Garoppolo talk. Speaking of the Super Bowl, we are broadcasting live from the Hard Rock. The Hard Rock is having their goodbye. It's their last great party. I'd really like you to come out. Save the date. The last great party. It's a four-day party marathon. It starts Thursday, January 30th, and we will be live. We kick it off, this show, at 4 p.m. at the Center Bar. How cool is that? They invited us to come in and do a show from the Center Bar on Thursday. Friday, I'll be there from 1 to 3 live. Saturday night's their final toast, the party. Everybody in town's going to get there. Celebrity galore, you'll love it. And then Sunday, if you're still standing, you can watch the Super Bowl there. They got me a room, Bobby. So I'm going to have a room that night. And my buddies who are listening, like my buddy Jimmy, my other buddy Jimmy G, it's never good when I get a room. Because when I get a room, I invite all my friends into the room. And we got the handles of the Tito's. Bobby, I'd take a new vodka sponsor. If you'd like to be the vodka sponsor of the show, it is right there. And we're going to have a great goodbye to the Hard Rock as I met my wife walking in to the Hard Rock for the Stones. So when they came to me and asked me to do that, I did a video for them. It's a high honor. So I'm excited about that. I'd love you to come join us. And I might be talking about Jimmy Garoppolo versus the Titans. How would that be? I can tell you this. Fox wants no part. Big NFL on Fox. I wouldn't say it to Chris as Chris was on. Don't want to make him uncomfortable. The last thing that Fox wants in South Beach is a week of talking about Ryan Tannehill, who played for the Dolphins and was a bum slayer. He was nothing. Can you imagine Ryan Tannehill's the quarterback at the Super Bowl for the AFC? Incredible. Hey, if you're hungry right now, just call ahead to Grimaldi's. Best pizza I ever had. They're ready for you. Home of the $50 Grimaldi gift card. Get the Brooklyn Bridge pizza. It's fantastic at the Caesar or the Mediterranean to go. Get a calzone. Have a glass of wine or a Peroni like I do at the bar as you wait for your pie. Stephen A. Smith next. Yeah, that's right. Stephen A.
Pitch on the way. Round ball right side into the shift to his left. Altuve has it in short right, throws to first, and the Astros are 2017 World Series champions. For the first time ever, the Astros are baseball's best.
Well, it took them 56 seasons, but they got it done in dramatic fashion. Game 7 on the road at Dodger Stadium, and the Astros prevail.
What a scam. Isn't that cool to hear? Way to go, Bobby. I'm happy you had that. So it took them 56 years to win, and they won by cheating. They did. And I want to tie it in with our audience coming up about the cheating perspective to gambling. So every time that you went to a sports book to bet the Astros in a parlay, you put them in some type of bet, and you watched baseball for 4 or 5 hours, you were watching a team that was knowingly cheating. How does that make you feel? How does that make you feel when you were sitting in a sports book betting on the Astros knowing that they were cheating? Now, the degenerate gambler will say, I don't care if I won my bet. Right? The degenerate gambler is going to say, who cares? I won my bet. I'm talking about the person who gambled and lost. And because Jose Altuve is like the mayor of the Lollipop Guild. Right? He's this little tiny guy and he's turning on pitches and hitting them on the train tracks. You think a little of that had to do with the fact that Altuve might have been knowing the pitches that were coming? Just a little bit? Yeah, it did. I can't wait to see what Altuve hits this year. If he drops like 30 points in average, So Altuve is dead to me. Dead to me. Rest of my career, I'll be going hard against little Jose Altuve, the cheater, who was definitely involved in the cheating scandal, along with Alex Cora, who lost his job. So last night I was on the radio. I host a satellite show on Sirius XM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, 8 to midnight, Sunday to Thursday night. I was doing my monologue, kind of ripping through it on the scandal. And then all of a sudden on line 2, Stephen A. called in, and I said, Stephen A., great to hear from you.
my brother, how are you? I called up because I was driving. I was listening to you, and I wanted the world to know that I'm here to validate exactly what you said about yourself being no nonsense, not playing any games. You ain't trying to be comedic or anything. You're just going to tell it straight. I try to be a little bit funnier, but the bottom line is you know how much of a straight shooter I am. There is no way in hell that that Carlos Beltran's head shouldn't roll unless he's found to be completely innocent of this. As far as I'm concerned, he's complicit. Alex Cora was clearly complicit. The Houston Astros, A.J. Hinch, the GM, definitely should have been gone. And, oh, by the way, I want to know the names. I want names of the players who were complicit. You're not pounding a trash can to play music. You were pounding the trash can to give a signal to these dudes about what pitch was coming. That's what you were doing to benefit them at the batter's box. That means those hitters who were listening to that sound, who knew what that sound meant, and more importantly, were reacting to it and following its lead, were complicit in this whole scam. For the just a manager and a GM to pay the price, or the two managers and a GM to pay the price, potentially three managers, and no players whatsoever, as far as I'm concerned, is utterly ridiculous. I don't give a damn what resistance the Players Association is going to give you. If you're the commissioner's office, I want names. Who the hell was complicit, and get them to.
Do we care anymore, Stephen A., about the history of this sport and the great records that were set up by honorable men who were called off to war, were sitting there, black players who couldn't come into this league and had to go to the Negro leagues before they were allowed to play, set brilliant records, and now we have a steroid scandal, and now we're living in a scandal of technology, and some people are like, hey, we'll get through it. We'll come out on the other side. It's not the end of the world. Someone has to hold the cheaters accountable.
JT, here's what I'm going to tell you, and this is going to sadden you because you're old school. There are a lot of people in this world that still care about history and those historical figures who were pioneers for so many issues for all of us in this nation. Here's the problem. Even though there are people who care about that, they are outnumbered and outweighed cachet-wise by a new generation who's ignorant to the history, do not give a damn, and they are what John Chaney once told me he called the microwave society. Everybody is about now. They're not about yesteryear. They're not about yesterday. They're about today. They damn near could give a damn about tomorrow. That's who we are at the mercy of as we speak right now, and there is simply no way to get around that. When you do television, for example, your target audience, the primary target for advertisers and sponsors, most times it's 18 to 34. They'll tell you 25 to 39. But what they will never tell you are it's the old school guys that have been around and what have you. That's not who you're targeting. You're targeting a younger generation, not only because they have some money, but because they're the children of those who do have money, and they will compel their parents to spend money on what they want their parents to spend money on. So the bottom line is, the 18 to 34 demographic to the 25 to 49 demographic, that's everybody's target in today's generation. It might be sad, but it's the absolute truth.
Wrapping it up with Stephen A., what do we do to the guys that we like, that you interview on First Take or on radio or wherever you are courtside? You like them a lot. They've proven to be your friends, and then they go through these personal transgressions like Antonio Brown, A.J. Hinch, Alec Cora. How do we find a way to distinguish between the good guys who get in trouble that we have to cover and the bad guys who just don't win at the level of the Cora, the Hinch, the AB when he was a superstar playing for the Steelers? It's the TMZification of sports we're living in right now, Stephen A.
By chronicling their actions, but yes, not character assassinating them. Don't get personal. Don't get into who they are because you don't know. And because if you do that, they'll always have plausible deniability. What they can never escape, however, is their actions, what they actually do. And you limiting your critique to their actions and how their actions are disseminated to the masses, but you don't get personal, it's indefensible. They'll be sensitive anyway. They may hate you anyway. God knows I know about that stuff. But in the end, if you don't get personal and you stick to the business at hand, which means their actions and how it impacts their careers and the lives and careers of others around them, as long as you limit it to that on a strictly professional level, there ain't a damn thing that they can say to you that should disrupt you sleeping very, very well at night. And that's all that should matter to us.
Stephen A. Smith. I told you I wasn't lying. I get good callers. That's why I'm always saying call this show, right? Good people call in, Stephen A. And I thought it was great at the end when he says you chronicle this. Whenever there's cheaters and people get caught and there's transgressions and mistakes, you chronicle it. You don't make it personal. And for Altuve, I'm kind of making it personal because he beat my Yankees. And I think he did it by cheating. So I'm a little bit burned on that. But Yankee fans aren't going to whine. We're upset, but the Yankees have more money than God. What are they going to cry about? They're just trying to buy a championship every year. I know that going in. But they got beat because the Astros were cheating. And for you Dodger fans, you got a lot to deal with on this topic because the Dodger fans haven't won since 1988. Clayton Kershaw's a good man. It's a hell of a pitcher. And he got robbed by the cheating scandal. It's not fair. It isn't fair, but life isn't fair. So what do you do about it? You can't take away their championships, but you can make them really uncomfortable. And I think they're going to be very uncomfortable. Alex Cora is tonight the manager of the Red Sox, former manager. He's not walking into a restaurant in Boston with his wife and family. He's underground because he brought shame to the franchise. And that's the payment. That's what happens. You have to pay that way. And you have to pay in your wallet when you can no longer just walk in and every year get a big salary for being a manager. Thanks to Bobby, you put the show together and had a big week. What a week of great guests. Thanks to all of our sponsors. Go check out alsco.com and check out Bo and upgrade your business, the look of your business. It's very important to do that. Dr. Crivetti, iCanAgain.com. He's coming in studio next week. We're looking forward to that. And a big, exciting week next week with the Raiders. Can't wait to tell you what's happening there. Have a great night, everybody.
Have a good night, everybody. All right, take care.